Lord, we thank you for the day school, Pastor Mary, and the team, Trish, and Avril, the teachers, parents, classes starting on Tuesday. Father, we thank you for the MBCNS, the students that you've sent here to learn to be servants, that we want to learn what it is to be a servant. You are a servant, God, and we are like you. For the fall season, what it means to be servants, for the years ahead of us in this life, be servants of the Most High God. What an honor. For the folks that sit in this room, for thousands of hours, we have sat at your feet and we have learned and received, and it has protected us, helped us, it has empowered us. It has fed us, it has nourished us so we could be servants, not important in the eyes of men, but servants in the eyes of God. Thank you for that honor. We are learning, we are learning, we are growing, we are interested, we are here. Anoint this message in your name. Amen. Turn to Luke 16, please. Luke, Gospel of Luke. Thanks for this morning. And of course, all the ministries, Pastor Wright, Pastor Justin, Silver Spring Pastor Shibley, his daughter, singing like an angel tonight. Oh, wow, that was the spirit, wasn't it? Wow, that was so beautiful. Awesome. We are born again, and because we are born again, we have the nature of God in us, and we learn something very important as believers, and it is called being a servant. I don't think I ever went to any school anywhere where I learned this subject as I did when I was here in the church and in Bible school. It's here where you learn about being a servant. Other schools you learn about and you want to be the best or useful or graduate or get a good job or be the best in your class or whatever it might be. But this calling that we have is a mystery. It's different. It's not about you and I. It's about God. And he has called us. In Luke 16, we see here this parable. And the main text that I want you to see is verse 10. Of Luke 16. Maybe I'm going to back up for a minute and just talk about joy for a moment. Because of Emma's song and the spirit and joy. And our convention theme this year in June was rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, we live in a world, and every one of us have something that bugs us. You know, every one of us have a problem, a family problem, a health problem, a money problem, a relationship problem. Maybe somebody's not married, they would like to be. And we say to you, rejoice in the Lord always. Somebody else is married and they don't want to be. And we say to them, rejoice in the Lord always. Somebody has a job, they don't like it, And we say, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm in a church and nobody knows it, notices me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm in a church and people notice me too much. Rejoice in the Lord always. There is something incredibly important about our new life, and it's to go deeper. It's fellowship with God. It's to go deeper. And sometimes when we're not listening to the doctrine, we run into trouble and we find, oh, maybe I should have listened to the doctrine and practiced it. But now it's too late. No, now's the time to hear and believe and understand grace and grow in grace and truth. It's never too late. Christ is here for us when we are lame and halt and blind and troubled, and we got ourselves into a big mess. He's the way out. But it takes a servant to believe that this is not about me being right or me being wrong. This is deeper. This is about God. God being glorified. God being found. God being understood. God visiting us and we being conscious of God. Seeking Him. I know that when I come to church, I remember this through the years, that I always heard that this isn't about me, it's about God, God's people, God's church, God's purpose. It's about the lost, and we are servants. We are learning what it means to be a servant and walk in the Spirit of God and be a servant. Look at Luke 16, verse 10, please. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least. And I wanted to write down a couple things here. Least. Faithful in that which is least. Wonder what that means. Least. Faithful in the things that nobody sees or notices. Faithful in a moment or a minute when nobody's around. Only God. I spill something on the floor, and that which is least, nobody notices it, nobody knows about it, but it's something there that I am a servant of God. I'm a servant of God. And whatever our hand finds to do, we do it as unto God. That which is least. I was thinking of where there are events that are unnoticed. They are the least. And then also words that are spoken so easily. Words. It doesn't matter. Everybody speaks like that. Yeah, but you are a servant of God. It doesn't matter. Nobody notices. But you are a servant of God. I put the chairs away. I put the chairs away. Yeah, you put the chairs away. But it's such a big deal that you put the chairs away. Did you put the chairs away in the presence of men and before men? Or did you put the chairs away in the presence of God? Are you serving men or serving God? Isn't that good? I remember when there was a mood or a spirit in the church of looking for acceptance before men, acceptance on a high level, acceptance in the nation, acceptance by important people. But we never learned about looking for acceptance in the way they were implying. But it's better that an individual, you and I, with pure hearts, would do what we do before God. Because look at the cross. At the cross, it's shameful. It's weak. It's foolish. But he is a servant of God. God sees him. God sees Christ's heart. God sees Christ's mind, his spirit. God sees Christ. And Christ is on the cross in the will of God. And as in the will of God, he is a servant of God. And he's bearing the shame of this rejection. I do not even think these thoughts unless God leads us deeper. The average believer, they do their duty. They have a good appearance. It's like this Russian aristocrat back in the 18th century. He built a village for Catherine the Great to give the impression of the prosperity in the area where he was in southern Russia, in the Crimea. And it became known as a Potemkin village. And it is like a phrase for facade. And when you would go into the building, there would be nothing there, just open space. And because it was all facade, he drove cattle down the street when Catherine was coming through town, and it looked like prosperity and beautiful village and everything, but there was nothing there. And then that brother wrote that book called The Shack. I don't know if you've read it, and it's been a little bit controversial, but I heard it. Interview by him in regards to the book, and it was very interesting. He said that people, their soul is like a shack, and they hide in the shack, and they lie in the shack. And then out in front of the shack, they put the facade, and they give the impression. But if you were to go into their house, there wouldn't be anything there but a shack. When we follow Jesus, it changes. Inside, there's a palace. On the outside, you may not see much. Look, you may not see much, but in him is the wisdom and the power of God. And with you and I, do you know what happened in this ministry called Greater Grace? They're just simple people that became servants. And the Lord said, I'm going to put in you people of some depth and love and commitment and conviction, and I'm going to train you to be servants. And you're not going to make calculations like people in the world, like how many likes do I have on social media? How popular? How many books have I sold? How many people have we baptized? How many buildings do we have? How many people do we have? How many churches do we have? No. There's something deeper. I moved the piano, and when I moved the piano, nobody noticed it, but God knew it. I controlled my tongue, and nobody knew it, but God knew it. I controlled my desires, because I want to glorify God deep in my heart and find Jesus Christ, because I have a treasure in a vessel of humanity, and we are always looking for that treasure, and we are finding it in our simple way here in our fellowship, and you folks are, many of you have decades been living as servants of the Most High Almighty God. Thank you. Faithful in the least things, it seems the Lord will test us. When people are attracted to the facade and the jazz and the big pumped up thing, they may be disappointed when they find out that really that's not much. And by the way, that's not here. We don't have anything to glory in except Him and His great grace and His wisdom that we find, we look for, the wisdom that will help train me to be a servant of God. To get this in my mind and in my heart and be motivated in a pure way in a life of faith. Yeah. Isn't that good? Servant. You know, many women that are homemakers at home, they may get very little praise as they raise their families, wash their dishes, do the clothes, take care of the household. But as they do it before God in a humble, simple, powerful way in the Spirit of God. They're supporting their husband and being behind their husband and encouraging him in the faith. And the other way, yeah. Our children need to learn to be servants and what it means to live for others. Children are selfish. Teenagers can be selfish, and they're at a phase in their life where they need to learn to walk before God and not be caring so much about the things that are obvious and visual, but to learn that if I obey God as a young man, maybe I will find God later in my life. And if I find God as a teenager, maybe I will find God later in my life. And if I find God as a young man, I may find God later in my life. I think so. Why can't young people walk with God as a servant? Why do they need to get so much credit? Why do we as adults need to be recognized so much? Or why do we need credit or recognition? Haven't we found something that is a secret that is a precious gift to us? It's Him. In the quietness of our heart, in the Spirit of God, He visits us. In the Spirit of God. You heard that story we read this morning about the 26 angels in Africa where the missionary was by himself and a group of six men planned to kill him to take his money and his medicine. And they saw 26 guards around him and he said he was all alone. Later in Michigan, he was at a church and he shared the story because one of the criminals confessed to him what they were planning to do to him, and he told the story, and there were 26 people in Michigan that morning, the same time, that prayed for him. Beautiful. While we look not at the things that are seen, but we're looking at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. If we are faithful in a little, verse 10, we'll be also faithful in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Abraham Lincoln, as a young man, was the postal authority in the town for a while, and there was some calculations with the money, and he was very careful about it because he was so conscientious about things being right. And they came back to him years later, and he had the $17 in a box. They were amazed that, like, and he was living in poverty, but he had that $17 in a box that did not belong to him. And as he lived in his poverty, he was upright in his attitude about what is right and wrong. And that carried him to lead our nation in a civil war that was based on what is right and what is wrong, at whatever cost. I love this story. I think our country should go back to Abraham Lincoln for our training and our teaching. No, better. It should go back to this book. It should come to Christ and find the treasure of what it means to be faithful in little things. Faithful in my classroom. Faithful in the church attendance. Faithful in raising my family. Faithful as a bride. Faithful as a wife. Faithful as a husband. And faithful as a friend. A good friend. Faithful as a teenager. You don't do sinful things. You don't do evil things. You confess it. You stay away from it. You don't flirt with it. You don't embrace with it. You don't talk about it. You don't post it. What is this? Insanity. Posting my foolishness on social media and spilling it out and spewing all kinds of garbage everywhere, coming from a believer. A believer, who's being taught and trained to be a servant of God, a servant of God. Wow. That's our honor. One day we may hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Nobody noticed it, but I did. People weren't talking about you, but we were talking about you in heaven. Nobody really realized what spirit you were of when you moved the piano or set up the chairs or you made the phone call or you cared about the things of God, the things of faith, and you quietly lived your whole life as a humble, meek person with a lot of control over your words, your mouth. Okay, lastly, turn to James, please, chapter 4. My, we were trained so well. I'm not talking about the past, I'm thinking about right now. We are trained so well. I am so thankful. How much that training has delivered me from so much garbage. How much that training has taught me to be careful with my words and my attitude. How much that training taught me to walk in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit and look for the visitation of God. How much that training has kept me from the chatty little negative comments that are said about people and the gossip that's said about people and talking and all the foolishness that happens from the human heart. I am so thankful that God can keep your heart pure and your mind clear and your tongue like a silver tongue and your spirit anointed and your fellowship sweet and your life motivated. Do you know why a lot of people are looking for anxiety medication? Because they live in anxiety. And they live in anxiety because they produce the anxiety by the things they say, the people they know, how they relate to people, how they relate to life. And the Bible is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. But how can I rejoice when I'm baptized in foolishness and I spew it and speak it? Oh, he didn't do this. He didn't do that. Oh, she is not like, or he didn't, or the church is this. Or this. It's like you don't know anything about God. You and I don't know anything about God. We don't know anything about God. You know, there's a kind of a Christian that I'm afraid I don't ever want to become this kind. But They have an opinion on everything. They can talk a long time. They can quote many Bible verses. They have an opinion. They are arrogant. They are holier than thou. They will give out advice and talk, but you have to ask the question, are you a servant? Can you be quiet? Can you be humble? Can you just be faithful and obedient to God? Can you walk before God, or do you have to be giving out all of the information and telling everybody the way the world is? It's like Job's friends. The three friends of Job. So, chapter 4. Well, this is fun. I'm stirred up. I want it to be edifying. Maybe it is. I want it to be. I want it to be from God. I want it to encourage us. I want it to say something to us because I have something in my mind about the subject. And it can just be very short. I'm almost done. But I want you to follow it with me. It's in James chapter 4. And it's talking about the flesh and the emptiness in Christians. Wars and fightings among you, chapter 4, verse 1. Where do the wars and fightings come amongst you? You know, Protestant churches are well known for the church splits that they have. The church splits that they have. Unbelievable. The arrogance in the church splits. The arrogance of leaders, unbelievable how it happens. I have been in it. I have seen it. I understand it. And I know where it's coming from. There is not humility. There is pride. There's arrogance. There's knowledge. There's experience. But with God, there should never be a church split in one sense. He says it happens and it's good in a way because it's like a house cleaning. But in another sense, it should never happen because God is not divided, because Christ is one. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have never had a split and never will. And God the Spirit that dwells in us and amongst us will build us up, but it takes being a servant. I know who is right. I know who is wrong. Just be quiet. You know who is right and who is wrong. Just be quiet. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. If you are right and you are right with God, God will take care of you. And you be a servant. And you stop your talk and your attack and your fight because you're fighting for, let's say, you're fighting for a building. You're fighting for the color of the carpet in the building. You're fighting for a relationship which is carnal. You're fighting for your ego. You're fighting for reputation. You're fighting for your past tradition. You're fighting for something. It's like, what are you fighting for? So this is the point of James 4. I mean, in one application. It says, where does the fighting come from? Of your lusts at war in your members. You know why you're fighting? Because you have been a miserable little holier-than-thou person anyway. You have been a cranky leader walking around like you're in charge of the whole thing. Are you a servant? Are you a servant? Can you be a servant? Are you a servant? Are you humble? Are you spirit-filled? Can you love when nobody else can? Can you give when nobody else can give? Can you be a servant? Can you live by faith? Can you honor God and live before God? Do you have any prayer life? Are you a servant? Why did some of you come to this Bible school? Because we have something going on that is from God. And in our teaching, we will teach you to be a servant. And many of you have learned that theme and you understand it, and we have benefited much because God takes care of his servants. Doesn't matter how dark the night gets. You know, the Jews had this tabernacle on the outside. It was animal skins. But if you got to go inside, it was covered with gold and silver. And that's like us. On the outside, that's like Jesus. On the outside, it's animal skins. But if you get in Jesus, you'll find gold and silver and treasure. You'll not be lonely. Christ is with you. You won't be empty. He will fill you. You won't be foolish. You will be wise. You won't be lost. You'll have the way, the truth, the life. You won't be deeply troubled. You'll be hurt, but you'll be healed. Because you have found God in a real way. So, look at James 4. It says, submit yourself, verse 7. Verse 6, gives more grace, greater grace. He gives more grace. My Zona Karen, greater grace. He gives grace, grace, grace. God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Boy, that's beautiful. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. I don't know. He's been running from me for a long time. I don't know about you. He runs away from me. And you. He runs away from us. He does. He does. He doesn't have much to do with us. He runs away from us if you resist him. And build your home. You build your home. How can you let your marriage go up in flames? How can you let your friendship and relationship go up in flames when you can resist the devil and submit to God and pray and love and be careful with your mouth? Learn to edify with your speech. Learn to edify as a practice. Learn to build up people in the faith. Learn, I'm not saying we are artificial. I am saying that genuinely from the Spirit of God, He will give us words in season and silence and quietness and seeds and truth that penetrates into our life. So the deep calls to the deep. Calls to the deep in Psalm 47, verse 10. And here it says, the devil will flee from us. He will. Verse 8, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. How? Cleanse your hands. Your hands are filthy. Your hands are filthy. How can you get close to God with filthy hands? How can you cheat and do everything else with filthy hands and come get close to God? Cleanse your hands in the blood of Jesus, in the water of the Word. Cleanse your hands, verse 8. Your selfishness, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Every once in a while we meet somebody, they're not persuaded to be a follower. They haven't gotten to that point. They're a believer, but they can't see it. They can't see it. They don't understand it. It's like Jesus said, you have ears you cannot hear and eyes you cannot see. You can't see what I'm doing. You don't see it. But we go way back to Maine. I didn't see much. But I saw enough to say, I'm going for it with all my heart. I want to trust God. I want to believe God. I want to have a spiritual mind. I want to be drawn nearing to God. I don't want to get stuck. I was having coffee in Bible school one day with one of my colleagues, and he goes, what do you think? I go, what do you mean? He said, I don't think I'm going to do this. I can't be a pastor. I don't think it's in my heart. I don't want to do it. What do you think? I said, I don't know. I don't have any right to say yes or no. I'm not the point. I don't know what will happen. I'm just going to go by faith and see what God does. Let's not take and make our decisions about our life in our terms. Let's see what God will do. I don't know what God will do. God can take a farm boy and make him a Billy Graham. God can take a young lady from Scotland and make her that dear woman who was in China. God can make a Mary Slessor, I think she was in Scotland too, and an Amy Carmichael from Ireland, and make these women, women of God, servants of God. How do you know? A servant is just like It's not me. Lord, you want me to be in the church? I will be there. I don't know what's going on there. I can't see what it means. I don't understand. I can read my Bible at home. I don't understand the whole thing. But if you said so, then I'll do it. God, I don't see much happening in my life this past year. There's not much action. I don't have a girlfriend still. I don't know what's going on. My job's not the best in the world, but here I am. And God is saying, you are my servant. You are my servant. Pay attention to what I'm doing. I will show you. Your ears will hear, your eyes will see, and you'll trust me, and I'll lead you. And I'll make your life something. I, God Almighty, will make your life something. And who are you? And we just say, Lord, I'm just a servant. That's all you asked me to do, to be a servant. And here I am. I draw near to you. The Lord says, wash your hands. Okay, Lord, that's your business. Cleanse me. I'll be cleansed. Draw near to me. Feel me. Show me. And then what does he say here? He says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded, some people who follow God for 3 months and they're done. They're double-minded. Some people follow God for 2 years and they're done. We had one lady here in the church 30 years, and she said, I'm done. I've done it for 30 years. I go, well, what was your motive for the past 30 years? I mean, how can you be disappointed? I understand we can be disappointed, but how can we walk, if it is God, how can I walk? I can walk away from a bad life, but I can't walk away from God. I could walk away from a disappointment if that's God's will, but it might be that that's exactly how he works. Let me read that piece from that Confederate soldier that I read this morning. If I find it here, oops, you know that part. Maybe I, nope. The Confederates came and took it away. I asked God for strength. This is an anonymous Confederate soldier. I asked him for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak, that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health, that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity, that I might do better things. I asked for riches, that I might be happy. I was given poverty, that I might be wise. I asked for power, that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness, that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Can't we say that tonight, many of us? I didn't ask for this. I got more than I could ever hope for. In which way? I don't know. Different ways. I have you in my life. We have God in our lives. We have angels coming and going. We have the forgiveness of sin, the guarantee of eternal life. We have the message of the gospel wherever we go. Anybody could say to us at an airline counter, on a street, in a ghetto, in a shack somewhere in the Himalayan mountains, do you have a message? I have. What an honor. He said, almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I among all men most richly blessed. I have found it. I wanted to share about James 4:11 tonight, but I'll do it at a different time, but we can touch on it. It says here, humble yourselves in the sight of God. Verse 10, he will lift you up. 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 Higher, higher, higher. He will lift you up. He will lift you up. Joy, joy, more joy, higher. Speak not evil one of another. Brethren, verse 11. That's the subject at another time. It's loaded. It means do not defame each other. I have a little list here of words. Do not besmirch, denigrate, discredit each other. Disgrace, disparage, malign, scandalize each other. Don't smear, vilify, belie, blacken, blister, detract, dishonor, or knock each other. Don't speak about other people unless it is edifying, because you are a servant of God and walk before Him. If we speak evil of our brother, we are judging our brother, and we are speaking evil of the law and judge the law. But if you are a judge of the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. That verse, we can unpack that sometime. It's so important. Be careful about your tongue and how you speak about people, and edify and learn to love with the tongue and be a servant like that. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? All the Bible college students learning to be servants. Pastor Jason Moore and his staff, Carrie Sidoni, the many missionaries out on the field, Chris Harmon, Stan Collins, Mike Plunkett, Dan Dunbar, Ramir, Pastor Ramir in the Philippines. These men and women all over the place. Young people learning to be a servant. Young people learning to find that treasure. God, what it means. Jesus, filling us. Caring for us. We can be faithful as servants. Yes, Lord, we're entering the fall season. If marriages were more about being servants, then the opinions would be subject to God's word. God's word. Raising our families, we're more subject to the word of God, to that teaching, and all of us submitted to God in what He says, the family, we find a great blessing. It's hard. I've done it. Hardest thing I've ever done or been part of. I didn't do it in a way. I didn't. My wife did it. But she wasn't alone. We did it together. And we weren't alone. We had the church. We had Barry Quirk and Angela and many others that helped us raise our family. We are honored by that. The church is amazing. The church is amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. We are in it. We are part of it. We are it. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. But some speak evil of it. Some speak evil of neighbors, sisters, brothers. Some speak evil of God. They speak evil in life. They are arrogant. They are arrogant. They speak evil of people and of the church and other churches and Christianity. And they speak evil of things they don't know anything about. They have no maturity. They are not servants of God. They may be children of God, but they have not found that blessing that comes when we are servants of God. That's what we are. Thank you, Lord. We're learning it. Father, anyone here needing a touch from you, you know their hearts and their prayers just now. May we bring our, not only ourselves to the church, but bring our wives, our husbands, our friends, our children, our teenagers. May we bring people along in our journey of faith. May we walk together as servants of the Most High God. God will take care of us and lead us. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Anyone here not believing in Jesus tonight, believe in Jesus Christ. You're saved, born again. Spirit of God comes in you. You're a child of God. By the grace of God, He's forgiven you. Put your name in the book of life. He's your Savior, your God, your Savior. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Raise your hand if you're saying the prayer, yes to Jesus, anyone at all. The ushers will help you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.